It's the first Sunday of the new year, and so it is always a really good time just to ask a few questions about, Asher, you can put your card down because it makes me slightly worried with somebody standing up there with a yellow card. It just makes me feel that we are in a football match. Okay, so it is a new year. It's always a really good time to ask one or two questions to see how you are going to face the year ahead, how different this year is going to be from 2014. I was with somebody over New Year, and they said, so Duncan, what are some of the things that you want to do differently for 2015? And I said, well, I think I'd probably like to lose a little bit of weight. And he said to me, Duncan, there's a distinct sense of deja vu in that, okay? So basically every year at the beginning of the year, I feel, yeah, I think I'd like to lose a little bit of weight, actually. But I don't know, you might want to be putting weight on. There are some people that think, oh, I do need to put some weight on. But I think at the beginning of the new year, people do make New Year's resolutions. And they think, oh, I want to do this year differently. And I read in the newspaper that actually sleep is the best thing for making sure that you fulfill your New Year's resolutions. Because when you're tired and drained, you don't have really the capacity to make the right sort of decisions. I want to ask too, who, not only your New Year's resolutions, who would you like to become like in 2015? Who would you like to look like? Or who do you aspire to be like? And I know there are lots of people who are really quite committed to looking like people. So there's quite a lot of stuff in my family household of like YouTube videos that are being watched. So I watched for some length last night, probably about 20 minutes. This isn't me watching this, but how a woman can dye her hair lavender. And it's just extraordinary process that they go through to dye your hair lavender. And I think, I just hope none of my daughters, if they come back with lavender hair, okay, you know that they've watched YouTubes and they're trying to look like somebody else. I was asked one killer question in 2014. And it's the question that still gets me now. And it says this: as I'm getting older, am I looking more like Jesus or less? And it just really, I've mentioned it here before, but my greatest desire in life is to become more like Jesus. I don't want to become like anybody else. I really, really want to become more like Jesus. And am I doing that? And I want to know that if I'm fortunate enough to get to 80 years old, will I sit in my comfortable chair, sort of smoking my metaphorical pipe, sitting there with my grandchildren around, and will my grandchildren say, there is Granddad. He just looks like Jesus, doesn't he? He talks like Jesus, and he reacts like Jesus, and he thinks like Jesus, and he has Jesus' priorities. And I think, is that the person that I am becoming? This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And is it right if it comes up on here? John. He says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There is a verse here that says that you and I, we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory into the likeness of Jesus. I am being changed. Look more like Jesus. And we are being changed. There's another verse in Ephesians, and it says this. It says that we are becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look at how can we, in 2015, start this year afresh in a way that you and I become more like Jesus, so that we can get to December 2015 and think, do you know what? I believe I am becoming more like Jesus. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. He said this: he is the one, Jesus, is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. I really want to be mature in Christ. I don't want to be like anybody or anything else. I want to be mature in Christ. I want to be part of a church where we are all becoming more and more like Jesus in the things that we say and do and think and react. So what I did before Christmas was I asked a few people. I said, if you could become a little bit more like Jesus in one area, what would it be? And so these are some things they said. I really would like to become more compassionate. Basically, I'd like to care about other people more than myself. Somebody said, I think I need to be more honest. I need to tell the truth more. Jesus never lied. He was totally committed to the truth. Somebody else said, I want to worry a little bit less about what other people think about me. Because so many times our lives are consumed with, oh, what will they think? And what will this person think? Somebody else says, I just want to be less jealous of other people. And I asked the question, and then they just carried on speaking for a little bit, and they said, actually, I am incredibly jealous of other people when they do well. When I see other people succeed, a little bit of me dies. And it's hard, isn't it? But Jesus was constantly seeing the good in other people. Somebody else said, I want to get more caught up in God's plan rather than my own plan. Somebody else said, I just want to be better at saying no to sin. Somebody else said, I want to be more passionate about God's plans for my life rather than my own. So take your little bit of card and your pen. And I just would like you to write on one side only, what is one way that you would like to become more like Jesus in 2015? Okay, if you're writing long essays, okay, you just fairly short, brief thing on there. Is everyone okay? Everyone got something down? Okay, can you take your card, turn it over, and on the other side, write 2015 and put the word fresh. Yeah? Cool. Do you know there is a real big problem with some of the things that you've written on there? I want to become more like Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've written something, you want to become more like him. But it is one thing. Can I have? I won't read what you've put on there, Steve. Which side is it? This side. Okay. So whatever it is that Steve has written on this card, I don't know. I'm not even going to look. But it's one thing to write it, isn't it? It's another thing to get to December 2015, having become a little bit more like that. It's very, very difficult. And we can write all the things that we want to about aspiring to become more like Jesus, but how do you do it? How actually, thank you, Steve, how actually can you become more like Jesus in 12 months' time? Well, hopefully I'm going to give you a plan to actually becoming mature in Christ, attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ. And I have 5 points, and they are the words fresh. I hope you like my PowerPoint this morning. It's nice and bright for you. Number one is this, and it begins with F. God's call on you today is to forget your past. Now, I know that we learn lessons from our past, and they're really important, and there are things that have gone in our lives that actually we do need to understand the lessons and the mistakes that we've got from our past. But I just need to let you know that this morning God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. Can you put your hands up if you made any mistakes in 2014? Can you put your hands up if you had any regrets about anything that you did in 2014? Could you put your hand up if this was now January 2014 instead of January 2015, you would do things slightly differently now? Okay, welcome to humanity. If you are breathing, we make mistakes. If you are breathing, we fail. If you are alive today, one of the struggles that we have is that we make mistakes. But did you know that God is more interested in your future than he is in your past? And you know, sometimes even you can work really very hard at things. You can work very hard at exams, and you can work very hard at your job. You can work hard at exams and still fail. You can work very hard at your job and still be made redundant. You can work very hard at a marriage and it still fail. You can work very hard at relationships and you still struggle, because sometimes things don't go as we would like them to do, and sometimes we fail. But you need to know that God is more interested in your future than in your past. And this is what it says in the Bible. Isaiah 42. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And sometimes I think we feel that God is fixated about our past. And we feel some of the things that happened to us in the past, they define us and we cannot move on from them. But actually, no, God is saying now, whatever it is, the 4th of January 2015, no, I want to do a new work in your life this year. I want you to let go of some of the things that have really held you back. And as I was preparing this, I saw this like picture of people with chains on their feet, and they really want to sort of like to move ahead with God and to trust him. But these chains, just like they hold you back and in place. Well, God wants to say to you this morning, I love you, and this is the time to move forward, to forget the former things. God wants to do a new thing in your life. F for fresh. R is this. Raw moments. Has anybody had any raw moments in the last few years? Raw moments are often bloody. Raw moments are often emotional. Raw moments often cause you to not sleep well at night. Raw moments, by their very definition, are stretching and hard and awkward, and we want to avoid them like the plague. Raw moments happen when somebody says something to you that you do not deserve. Raw moments happen when somebody says something that you do deserve, but it destroys you. Raw moments happen when something occurs, not necessarily that wasn't your fault, there's something that it was unavoidable, but something happens. And you just need to know that if you want to become more like Jesus Christ, it is the raw moments that it will happen in. Because character is never formed by listening to a sermon. Did you know that? It never happens listening to a sermon. Character is very rarely formed reading a book. Character is very rarely formed when everything is going really well and very, very smoothly. But you become more like Jesus when you make the right choices in the raw moments of life. And so sometimes we think, I don't want this to happen at all. But those are the moments that you and I will become more like Jesus. There's this wonderful account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says this in Matthew 26. He says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me, is what he said to the disciples. I'm going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying this, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. And you know, there's this moment when Jesus, he desperately didn't want to go through the cross. He didn't want to die a painful death. He didn't actually want to be sort of like whipped to an inch of his life and then hung up on a cross and die a really pain. He didn't want to do that. He really didn't want to have to go through all of that pain. But he knew there was a moment of obedience that came. And there are moments for us when we are in incredible pain. And those are the moments that you and I become more like Jesus. I'm reading a fantastic book that I really like at the moment. Does anybody ever remember? Okay, you have to be a certain age for this. Does anybody ever remember the band The Communards? Yeah. Don't leave me this way. Okay, sad. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I really liked it. Okay, it's very good. And it was a guy called Jimmy Somerville and Richard Coles. And they were an interesting couple. They were right at the forefront of sort of fighting for gay rights. And they, both of these guys in this band, they led a very sort of promiscuous, sexually active life. But he came through, Richard Coles. He's now a presenter on Radio 4, Saturday Morning Live. He came through to such a glorious saving faith in Jesus. And this book really is his account of going through. He had the best, one of the best-selling singles of the 80s in 1986 with that song that we so wonderfully sung earlier. But he, obviously he is a gay man, and he's had to count the cost, because he says, I am a new creation in Christ. I was the worst of all sinners, but now I am a new creation in Christ. And the temptation for him is to go back into a gay lifestyle, but he says, no, for the sake of Jesus, I'm living a celibate life. And you know what? In that moment, Richard Coles became more like Jesus, because in his greatest temptation, he surrendered to Christ and said, no, this is how I'll live. It's a phenomenal story. I mean, I quite like the band, but I like the story. But I love hearing the man of somebody who said, no, this is a great temptation. So he has to live his life now without intimacy, with no sexual expression. And we'd say, no, sex outside of marriage, of one man and one woman, is not right. That's what the Bible says. And so he has to count the cost of that. But it's difficult. But those are the moments that character is formed. And sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to slip back into old ways. And you think, you hit a crunch point and something really difficult happens, and you slip back into an old way of responding. But Jesus said, no, become more like me. F, forget the past. R, life happens in the raw moments. That's when we become more like Jesus. The third thing that begins with E is this. Encounter. Now, I don't know if you see somebody and you admire them and you want to copy them. Now, I've been to different places, into different work settings, and sometimes into churches, and you can see that they use the same sort of language, the same phrases, and people, if you admire somebody else, you will often copy them, and you will try and dress like them, and I noticed actually not many people try and dress like me. I don't know why that is, but anyway, but or copy my hairstyle or things like that. But anyway, but you, when you see somebody, you'd want to copy them and you want to become like them. And so when we say, oh, we want to become more like Jesus, okay, does that mean that we have to sort of like become carpenters and hang out with lots of fishermen? And no, that's not what it is at all. It's about it at all. But the truth is this, that we do not become like Jesus by imitating him. Because then it just becomes a case of, oh, well, I'll just try and be kinder to this person here. Or I'll just try and do... No, becoming like Jesus is not about imitating him. Becoming more like Jesus is about meeting him. And it's about encountering him. John 7 says this, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever comes to me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. And there is something about, I don't want to just copy Jesus, but I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want livers? Livers of living water. No, we don't want livers of living water. We want rivers of living water to flow out from within us. And I don't want to just copy Jesus. I don't want to see a picture. I don't want to read things about him. I think, okay, that's what Jesus did. But the Bible promises something completely different, that the Holy Spirit will come and live within you and cause these rivers of living water to flow out from you. You will be different. And you know, we used to talk in the church quite a lot about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need to talk about that again, because it's all the difference between understanding and seeing and copying Jesus. And the difference is this, then suddenly Jesus is living within you. And suddenly you're able to cry out, Abba, Father. You are able to know that you are God's beloved son or God's beloved daughter. You are able to know deep, deep down that he loves you. And it's the difference of the Holy Spirit coming and living within us. And so if we want to get to the end of 2015 more like Jesus, we need to be more open to the Holy Spirit. And you know, I remember when I was about 23, I went to a church and I had never been filled with the Holy Spirit before. And I went to a church and I thought they were barking mad. I just didn't understand it at all. And I thought, I didn't understand they were speaking in tongues and they were doing all sorts of really weird things. But there was one thing that I took away from them. They loved Jesus. And they spoke about Jesus in a way that it sounded like they really, really loved him. And it wasn't just coming in singing songs, but it was like a profound affection that was deep within them that they said, oh, Jesus, we just want to be with you. And I'd never seen it before. And I realized it was this, that it was a church filled with people who had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't just know about God. They didn't just know about Jesus. He was living within them. And my prayer is that actually as a church, we are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you have never been prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes you think that your Christian life is just hard work, and sometimes you think that I don't really know that God loves me at all, I'd hazard a guess that you need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to come and live within you. At the end, I'd love to pray for you. If that's how way you feel, I'd just like to come and put my hand on your shoulder and pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill this person afresh. So there you go. Forget the past. Raw moments. Encounter. The S is this. Secure. Did you know that if you are secure in your friendship with somebody else, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? It just makes it. If you know that person really likes you, and if you know that person really loves you, and you know that person isn't going to walk away from you, it makes a lot of difference. It means life is a bit more fun, it's a bit more relaxing. You can rely on them, that they will love you, that they have said they will love you, and they have said that they will never leave you. And did you know what? It is exactly the same with God. It is exactly the same with your Heavenly Father. If you know that your Heavenly Father loves you, life is very, very different. You can be secure in the love of your Heavenly Father. This is what it says in John 17. Jesus praying to his Heavenly Father. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, but my prayer is also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me. And I just think there is something about when you know that God loves you, that is a picture of Jesus who was really at ease with his Heavenly Father. He just, I know you love me, and I know you love me, and because you love me, I'm going to love these other people around us. And it's a complete game changer when we know that somebody is at peace with their Heavenly Father. In fact, I'd hazard a guess that if somebody is always stressed, and if somebody is always anxious, and if they are never at peace, I would hazard a guess, they do not know that God loves them. And so you need to know today that your Heavenly Father really loves you. And you need to know today that your Heavenly Father really likes you. You need to know today that your Heavenly Father looks at you when you're sleeping and smiles. You need to know that your Heavenly Father is filled with tremendous, tender affection for you. You need to know that. And when those truths sink deep into your heart, you become a bit more like Jesus. You become more like him because you're secure in your Father's love. A few days ago, I was reading something at Christmas, and it was after Christmas. And you know, sometimes at Christmas, you get out of your normal pattern, and particularly for Jill and myself and our kids, because we don't often go away during the rest of the year, during Christmas and New Year, we just go everywhere, all over the place. And sort of like we have been up in Sheffield, and we'd be down in Poole, and we're in Winchester, and we just see as many friends as we possibly can. And it's great, we really love it. But you know what, you get out of a routine, don't you? And so you know, I think two nights ago, Jill and I were sleeping in a bunk bed. You think, oh, that was quite interesting. On another night, I was on some bed and Jill was on a light. And you just get out of your routine. And sometimes, sadly, when you're like that, I don't have my time, but I'm just able to sit down and to pray and to be with God. And actually, I came back at some moments and I just was hit again. And I felt I had to say to God, God, I am sorry that I am not the person that you want me to be. And as I said those words, this is what I felt God say to me. He said, Duncan, I know. I know you're sorry. I know you're sorry that you are not the person that I want you to be. But that's okay. Because my grace is there for you. And my mercy is there for you. And then I say, but I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he said, what were you doing? My grace is there for you. Why did my son die? That you could come back to me. And it just hit me again and again that God's love and his mercy is sufficient. And it just put me back to a place of peace. If I want to become more like Jesus, I have to be secure and know that God really loves me. Last one is this. H. Anyone want to hazard a guess? Pardon? Have you been looking at the PowerPoint? Here. Hearing. Well done, Jake. So at least it's initiative, isn't it? That's good. Okay, we have found that at Christmas time, I wouldn't want to blame any particular side of the family. Jill's side. But certain people have selective hearing. And I'm sure it's a thing that happens to older people. And they sort of like, you know, people playing around with their hearing aids. No, can't. And then there's, when a whole house is really sort of like quite chaotic and there are children everywhere and there's music going, they're just in their own little place and they can't hear a thing. But mention certain subjects. Oh, yeah, they're there. They know about that. Start talking about one or two things. Oh, yes, no, I think I've got something to add to that. And it's about selective hearing, isn't it? Well, do you know, I think Jesus' heart was to hear his Father's will. John 5 says this, I can do nothing on my own. This is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of him who sent me. And if we want to become more like Jesus, I need to be better at hearing what Jesus is speaking into my life. And I know when Jesus heard his Heavenly Father, he went away and he spent a lot of time sort of like listening and a lot of time praying. But actually, if you need to become more like Jesus, you somehow need to work out, how can I hear the Holy Spirit speaking into my life? And not only hearing, because it's one thing to hear God say something to you, but it's another thing to surrender and to obey and actually do something about it. But that is who we are. If we want to become more like Jesus in 2015, you need to become more efficient at hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. Just take your card again and look at the thing that you wrote on there, how you want to become more like Jesus. Just have it in front of you. And I'm going to pray that into your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have brought us to the beginning of 2015 for a fresh start in you. And Father, we thank you for these things that we have written on our cards. And we want to become more like your son, Jesus. But we don't want to just copy him. But we pray instead that this morning, that you would free us from our past, that we would forget the past. I want to pray for the pinch points in our lives, those moments when we really, really struggle, those raw moments. God, I pray that in those raw moments, we would become more like you. We would be making right choices. Jesus, I pray too that we wouldn't just imitate you, but we would have an encounter with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would become more secure in your love, that peace would flood our lives, that peace that passes all understanding would flood our lives because we know that you love us. And lastly, we pray, O Lord, would you give us real listening ears that we might hear your Spirit and be obedient. And we take these things, Lord, that we've written on these cards, and we ask, O Lord, by December 2015, that we would become more and more like you. Help us not to grow older, staying the same, but help us to grow old, we ask, O Lord, becoming more and more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.